This is Listen Likely, the show that keeps you up to date on all things happening in and around the Lakeland area. Here's your chance to plan your family activities and learn more about what your city government and your neighbors are doing to make Lakeland a great place to live, work, and play.
Welcome to the August edition of Listen Lakeland. I'm Kevin Cook, Director of Communications for the City of Lakeland. Here in our studios today, we have with us David Robinson, Chairman of Lakeland Vision, to talk about Polk County Schools with Superintendent Jacqueline Bird and School Board Chairman Lynn Wilson.
So, Lynn, I understand that our half-cent sales tax to fund key infrastructure for schools is up for renewal. Can you tell me what the school board has been able to do with those funds in the past?
Yes, that's a great question, David. But I'd like to start with this. You know, the single most important thing that any school board can do is make sure we have good leadership in place. And in bringing on Jackie Bird as our superintendent, we brought on an individual with tremendous integrity and character. Frankly, we've struggled a little bit with trust in our school district over the past few years, and I think that it's a huge ship, takes a little time to turn it around. But I think in time, what we're going to see is those leadership characteristics filter down, and they're going to have a tremendous impact on our district. We've already enjoyed some great success, and I'd like to share a little bit of that with you. We have, as you know, we just talked about infrastructure. So we've gone from microwave towers to fiber optics, and that's huge for our students because if they don't have the technology background, they're not prepared when they go out to the workplace. So that's terribly important. We're decentralizing. We're working with our local communities to make sure that they're getting the education that they need, that their students are getting the education in the way that they need it, that's helpful to their particular communities. Of the 67 districts in the state of Florida, we have the 64th lowest administrative costs. So we've done, our district staff have done a great job of managing those costs. I know one of the things I often hear is that we have too much cost at the administrative level. The reality is we're faced with a lot of mandates, a lot of unfunded mandates from the state of Florida, and we have to manage those. So that requires people and it requires staff. I would estimate that roughly 30% of our total overhead cost is just managing the mandates from the state of Florida. So we do a remarkable job in Polk County.
And we're 64th out of 67 counties.
Of the 67 counties, our administrative costs are 64th lowest. So clearly, we're managing those costs much better than I think the perception of the community would see that. We have refinanced over $30 million worth of debt. We've increased our cash flows. We've improved our credit rating. We've lowered our interest rate. We've got another $30 million on the table. I think we're going to get that done next year. So those are just some of the things that are happening behind the scenes. And what does that translate into? It translates into a graduation rate that's gone from 70% to 75%. We're now a B school district, up from a C school district, no F schools. We've cut the number of D schools in half. So it's important, I think, that folks understand that we're moving forward, and it's very important to continue that forward progress. Getting back to your question about the half-cent sales tax, over the years, that tax has funded pretty close to $500 million in new schools, in improvements in existing schools, and most importantly, in maintenance. Obviously, in the state of Florida, it's very important to have air conditioning. We have to keep those coolers up and running and well-maintained. So it's just been a tremendous help to us. We used to get what were known as PICO funds, Public Education Capital Outlay Funds, and those are pretty much have dried up. Those funds came from a tax on landlines. And as we know, landlines are pretty much a thing in the past. The revenue stream just isn't there anymore. We're getting roughly $2 million a year, I think, from PICO funds, which just isn't enough to fund what we need. So the half-cent sales tax is
generated. What is the cost of a school? I mean, you guys have put up a couple of new schools in the last year. But what's the average cost of bringing a school online?
To build a high school, it's going to run you around 60-plus million.
And our PICO funds are $2 million, so there's a little bit of a deficit there. Okay,
yeah.
So and we have some areas of the county that are growing rather rapidly
yes,
as well.
Absolutely.
And so, So this infrastructure and this half-cent sales tax helps us pay and bring new facilities online and also keep existing facilities, you know, at a satisfactory level?
Well, even with this tax, it's a challenge because, frankly, we have over $1 billion of identified needs, mm-hmm. and we generate between all of our sources about $100 million a year. This tax is roughly half of that. So it really is critical. I mean, if we just stopped today, we'd be $1 billion behind where we should be. So this it's a very critical need. And yes, we can do it with this tax, but it's very important that we have this. And to be clear, this is a continuation of an existing tax. It's not a new tax. I'm a fiscal conservative, so I'm not crazy about new taxes, but this is a continuation that's very
important. And many of the school districts throughout the state have a tax like this, a half cent or a 1 cent tax in place, correct?
Yes, it's very common. It's very typical, very common. So
what will our listeners see on the ballot? Will it say a renewal of the sales tax? What will they see on the ballot?
It will. And we're thinking that this will be, there are going to be a lot of things on the ballot because this is a year when they talk about constitutional amendments. So there'll be a lot of items on the ballot to look through. Hopefully this will be the last item on the ballot. So folks will know to go to the very last item. It will say, this is a renewal. Do you agree to a renewal of the half cent sales tax to keep our schools safe and clean and well-maintained? I should offer as well that in light of some of the tragedies we've seen throughout our country recently, that this tax will help us improve safety for our students. It's going to allow us to add cameras and fencing and all the things that will make our students safer. So it's very valuable to us from that perspective as well.
So the message you'd like for our listeners to hear is the half cent sales tax renewal, yes.
Yes. Okay. Very important to our district. Yeah.
I'm also a fiscal conservative, Lynn, so I'm not in favor of new taxes, but this sounds like almost a no-brainer here. So tell us, you know, are any of these funds used for administrative costs or?
Yeah, that's a great question. Absolutely not. These funds can only be used for facilities, so they can be used for new construction, new buildings, and as you know, our county is growing. So we desperately need some help with some new schools around the county, especially in the northeast part of the county. We need some help in Lakeland as well. Mm-hmm. So we can use it for new schools. We can use it to maintain schools. We can use it to upgrade schools. We can use it for busing, and we can use it for technology. Very important there as well, as we mentioned. We're talking about the increased capabilities through fiber optics, but we also want to put that technology in the hands of the students in the classroom. So it will help us provide the appropriate technology in the classroom for our students as well.
Who has oversight, Lynn, to this, how this money's spent and how it's budgeted?
Very good question. So the district has an oversight committee made up of community members. Each board member appoints folks from their respective districts to that community. And they review on a quarterly basis all the expenditures to ensure that they're being used as we said they would be used, only for facilities and busing and technology.
So, Lynn, you've been on the school board, for 4 years now.
Yes.
And tell us what challenges you see facing the district. You know, we've got a B. You know, the ball's moving forward. That's awesome. What are the challenges and what are the things you're focused on in the coming year?
Well, you heard me talk about some of the things that we've been focused on, and that's really changing the culture of the district to ensure that we've got the right place, the right people in the right places throughout our district. And that's a challenge for Superintendent Birch. He's done a wonderful job with that. Decentralizing, to making sure that we're meeting the needs of our respective communities, mm-hmm. Making sure that we're getting the right technology in the hands of our students. I mean, a chalkboard and chalk is not going to suffice in today's society. So we need to make sure they get the technology they need in their hands. Making sure that we continue to administer our district in a fiscally sound way. We've made a lot of progress along those lines in the past few years. I would say the biggest challenges are the financial challenges because we're quite limited by the state of Florida and what we can do in terms of generating revenue for our district. So we continue to advocate at the state level to ensure that our state legislators know that what our needs are here locally. And then to the extent that we can, we look to our local community to help us out. And again, that's what we're doing with the renewal of this half-cent sales tax.
As a parent, and I'll ask both of you this question, I'd like to hear from both of you. As a parent, what should, and we have many parents listening today, obviously, what should we be doing, you know, to better integrate with our schools and to make sure that they're successful? I mean, with our students, what can we do with our students? What can we do with the teachers, the principals, and how can we be better parents?
Dave, that's a great question. You know, usually when I go and I speak to groups and I'm asked, how can we help? I always say, you know, come alongside the schools, come alongside of us and work with us. Teachers love for parents to come in and volunteer, and we have organizations that want to adopt schools. And, you know, when we say adopt schools, it's not just showing up and saying, you know, here's check for you, because a lot of times it's not about the money. And at that time, they like the hands-on with them and helping them and working with students and volunteering within our schools. So I always offer parents, in order to keep this momentum moving forward, and we saw a lot of it this year with a lot of the communities and companies coming alongside to help with the schools. And that's what it is. It takes all of us to continue this momentum.
Well, I wouldn't have anything to add to that. I think Superintendent Bird has summed that up quite nicely. But I would like to go back to the half-cent sales tax for a moment, if that's okay. We talked
it's
about it.
That too.
You know, my background is in accounting and finance, so that's kind of where I stay focused, and I leave the education stuff to the professionals. But we talked about how it will help us in terms of technology, providing our students with technology. We talked about how it will help us. It's called hardening the schools, and it just means making them safer with fencing and cameras and restrictive windows and dooring projects and things of that nature. But there's a benefit to our citizens as well, our constituents here in Polk County, and that is, as we build the new schools and as we upgrade our existing schools, it helps with economic development. We know as we move from a C district to a B district and ultimately to an A district, that's very important to our business community. It's very important to economic development, and it helps ensure that we maintain our property values in this area. So it's good. It's just good business sense. A lot of good reasons to make sure we do that. And by the way, I think this is important to note too, our visitors cover roughly 20% of that tax. So the folks visiting Polk County.
That's right. A half cent sales tax hits everyone.
It hits everyone. So we get help from our visitors as well.
And how much does that raise a year for the school board?
It generates about $45 million a year. Now, when we first did this, we bonded much of that. So we've been paying roughly $30 million a year on that debt, which meant we've had about, you know, 10 to 15 to actually use. That debt will be extinguished at the end of this year. So we'll have the full $45 million. And that represents about half of what we really need to keep the district functioning.
And with, you know, safety concerns and stuff as well, hardening the schools, very important. So, well, I hope our listeners have been listening to the Half Cent Sales Tax initiative and understand why it needs to be renewed. It definitely makes sense to keep our school district moving forward. So, Jackie, looking at some of the stats and some of the numbers behind the Polk County School District, I'm absolutely amazed. Seventh largest district in the state of Florida, yet we're funded at the 64th out of 67th county, so we're in the bottom of that. We're a B district, so I would assume now we're above the 50% mark in grades, which is awesome. I'm just shocked that we have 105,000 students here. And how many teachers? How many teachers?
You know, 6,000 teachers.
Wow.
And I can tell you that our numbers are going, we're probably projected to probably go up to about 107,000 this year, students. So we're growing. I think in 2013 we were in the 95,000, and now as you can see every year we're increasing our numbers in enrollment.
Well, it seems like there's a chronic teacher shortage across the country. I read about it all the time. What are we doing to attract and retain teachers, and what are we doing to grow our own talent locally?
And David, if I could just weigh in on that, we, you know, as y'all both have, and we've talked about this, of the 67 counties were the 64th lowest funded, of the 100 largest counties in the country were the 99th lowest funded. So we really have some financial challenges. Yet we fund our teacher salaries roughly in the mid-range. We've really stretched our budget to its limits to do that. It's not enough. Part of the shortage is, of course, teacher pay, as well as many of the mandates that have been passed down from the state. I think that's well-known, common knowledge. But we've stretched our budget to its limits because we feel it's so important to do what we can to pay our teachers as much as we possibly can. We've cut into our fund balance mm-hmm. extensively. So we're doing everything we can on that end to help ensure that we're able to attract teachers. we're going to continue. I'm going to personally continue working with our state legislators to help them understand what the challenges that we face locally and take some of the pressure off our teachers locally as well. So that's kind of what we're doing on the board side and from a political perspective. And I'll let Superintendent Byrd talk about what's happening in the classrooms.
Well, you know, there's a shortage nationwide. The colleges are just not producing College of Ed, teachers out of College of Ed, you know, in the masses like when I actually attended and came out. They probably lost over 50% of that, you know, when talking to some of the college professors and presidents. But so as I looked at that and after I did, you know, a lot of conversations last year with a lot of different colleges and presidents, you know, we got to start looking at what are we doing for ourselves here. So one of the things that we had Dr. Hutek and Workforce and John Small was starting it prior to his departure, was looking at a teacher academy. How do we grow our own? You know, we have academies for welding, we have academies in culinary, but what about taking care of our most precious need, and that's that classroom? So we're looking at this year starting off a brand new teacher academy with some high schools, four high schools, partnering with Polk State College, where they'll take dual enrollment classes with us, and so they can end up with their two-year degree, go over to Polk State College, finish out. But the agreement in the articulation is they come back and they have a commitment to Polk County Public Schools for so many years that they work with us as a teacher. And I'm looking to expand that agreement once we get that first cohort going to where we can allow them to go back and get their master's. So Dr. Falconetti and I have been having those conversations. I'm excited about it. So right now we're going to try to start growing our own, and hopefully that the students that are out there, if you're interested in this pathway, we got an option coming for you this year.
That's incredible. That's, you know, talent pipeline development is one of the things impacting the technology industry, impacting everyone and how you grow your own talent. So what an innovative way to, you know, attract and retain our local talent, you know, not just having to bring in external talent, because as we talked about, what very innovative. So Jackie and Lynn, you've shared with us and our listeners today all the exciting things about being a B district again, how you're moving the ball forward with your talent pipeline, how proud you are of your faculty, staff, and students and parents. What's next? What's exciting you next?
You know, what's exciting is August the 13th. That's day one. I miss him. So tell Jared to come on back to school, you know, while he's worried about his early release days. But, you know, we miss them. We look forward to it. We look forward to another exciting year. And welcome back, August the 13th, day one.
Well, I want to thank you both for being here today. Been a very interesting program. I hope to see you guys soon.
Thank you, David. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
This is Listen Lakeland, the show that keeps you up to date on all things happening in and around the Lakeland area.
Hello, this is Kevin Cook, Director of Communications for Listen Lakeland, and we're blessed to have Bob Donahue, Director of City of Lakeland Parks and Recreation, in our Listen Lakeland studios.
I'm excited. I'm excited to be here. I appreciate the invite.
Well, thank you, Bob. Well, today, I mean, we have a number of things to talk about, but we're going to talk a little bit about a park that's going to be opening called Cook Park. It opens on Saturday, August 25th at 11:30 a.m. Bob, why don't you tell us a little bit about Cook Park?
I tell you what, it's a really exciting project for us. The Cook family, Douglas Cook, he donated the property to us. It's $1.3 million worth of property, 18 acres, on a great part of Lakeland on the north side of town, right off Wedgwood Boulevard. It just kind of fell into our lap, and we just appreciated so much his family's generosity. And we've been able to take that. We're creating a football field, multi-purpose field, walking paths, dog park, playground, basketball court. It's going to be just a gorgeous amenity for the neighborhood to use 24/7. And then also we're going to put our Police Athletic League football team. They're going to play their games there on Saturday. They haven't had a home for forever. They've been kind of the nomads of Little League football. So it gives them a home. And so we're, like I say, it solves several issues that we've had internally. And at the same time, it takes just a piece of land that was overgrown and turned it into something beautiful for our citizens. So we're really excited about that.
And those listeners that may not know where Cook Park is, if you remember Carpenter's Home Estates, Douglas Cook purchased that and made Lake Gibson Assisted Living Facility. Yes. There. And the sports fields that were part of the Evangel Christian athletic program were neglected and just sort of sitting there for years. And as part of the purchase of that land, Douglas Cook donated those fields to the city of Lakeland.
Yes, he did. I mean, it's just amazing. And unfortunately for Mr. Cook, he passed away when we were about to close on the property. His family, his sister Renee Tucker, who runs the Lake Gibson retirement area, just a super, super nice lady. Her mother and his son graciously extended the invitation and said that they would donate the property in his honor. And what's so neat about it, it's kind of touching, honestly, is the fact that this wasn't naming the park after him, wasn't a condition of the donation. It was something that after we closed on it, it was a very casual conversation, said it would really mean a lot to our family if. But it was definitely not a condition. And of course, the commission, our city manager, Tony Delgado, everybody was behind it. And it was an easy naming rights for us. And it was appropriate, too.
Well, it's very fitting. I mean, yes. The man donated and the family stuck through that promise of the property. And what's good is we needed a park up in that area. And this is going to not only benefit the Police Athletic League's sports programming, but it's also going to benefit the neighborhood there, as well as the assisted living facility across the street, because these individuals have a place to walk. They have a place to take their dog. And we have a playground for young kids as well.
Yeah, we really, when we laid out the park, Pam Page is our deputy director, just an amazing individual who actually is in charge of our construction projects, our new park projects. And we spent a lot of time. I live on the north side, so it was easy for me. And we would go out there and just sit and just watch the neighborhood on the weekends and stuff like that and just observe the activities. They had a rundown basketball court that people would come from, you know, from the area to play on. So obviously that was very viable. We saw a lot of folks walking their dogs from the neighborhood that live on the south side of the park. We observed that and saw kids. We did a population study to try to get an idea of the people that were living in the area, what their makeup was. And so we added all those elements. And so also with the retirement home on the north side of the property, we figured exercising and whatever, which the retirement home loved. And then, like I say, we took the basketball court and we not only repaved it, we put a tennis court surfacing on it with some very vibrant colors, two new basketball goals, and we made that much nicer for the folks to come and use. And then, like I say, the dog park was a natural because they were already coming over their street anyways. So we incorporated all those elements and we put those within walking distance of both the retirement home and the neighborhood so everybody can enjoy them. So like I say, we put a lot of time and effort into making sure we tried to hit it right.
Well, it looks wonderful. I drove by there the other day, and I'm really excited about the grand opening. When we have football that day, don't we?
Yes, we do. We're going to have a full slate of football that day. We're excited about it. Ray Lewis is getting inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame this coming weekend and in Canton. So right after this month, we're going to have Ray Lewis is going to, along with our mayor, our city manager, our commission, and, of course, the Cook family, we're all going to cut the ribbon and celebrate this wonderful park opening. So we're really excited about it. It's going to be a really neat event.
And our listeners that may not know, Ray Lewis actually grew up in the Lakeland area, played peewee football in the Lakeland area, went on to be a high school star at Kathleen, and an All-American wrestler.
Yes.
Kathleen.
Yep, all-state champion.
He was. And then went on to make his mark as a linebacker for the University of Miami and played his entire 17-year career for the Baltimore Ravens.
Right.
So we have a Lakeland gentleman who had a history football career here in the area is coming back to help us celebrate Cook Park opening.
Yeah, I tell you what, whatever. We've actually been really fortunate, not only with Ray coming back and, you know, like say getting inducted to the Hall of Fame and then within 30 days coming all the way back to Lakeland just to cut the ribbon for us. We've also have two other folks in our community, the Pouncey Twins, who've also, along with working with our Police Athletic League, they do a yearly football camp for us. And with this last year, did it at Bryant Stadium again. We had over 1,200 kids. We had youth and high school coaches, like the high school, participate. And so we've been really fortunate in folks coming back to give back to our community that have gone on and done great things in their lives too. So it's a win-win for everybody.
It really is. And two things that we didn't mention that Cook Park, the amenities that are there, we have a concession and restroom building.
Yes, we do. Probably the nicest concession building we've ever built. I mean, I looked at it the other day. I was like, holy smokes, you know, whatever. It's really nice. Bathrooms, concession building, with all up to date, everything's top notch, and tin roof that I love. And like I say, I can't say enough good things about Pam and our park staff that did a lot of hands-on. And also, I don't want to forget also the Rotary Club, who donated thousands of dollars to us to plant trees all over this park site.
Sure.
It was pretty barren. And so without the Rotary Club help, who's been just phenomenal for our department, and not only this project, but also in playground projects that we've done, they graciously donated thousands of dollars to us to plant trees, along with our nursery crew planted them. And so, like I say, our park staff, Pam, everybody just did a tremendous job in this park.
And the landscaping is just going to add to the ambiance of the park. And I believe the fields are, they're lighted fields too,
yes,
correct?
Yes, they are, lit field, whatever. And I tell you what, it's really cool because Brian French, Danny Bell, Larry Glass, all my old-time groundskeepers that run Tiger Town, they came over with hands-on on that field to make sure the growing of the grass was and the irrigation was just perfect. I mean, Brian French, if you don't know Brian French, he's been our head groundskeeper at Tiger Town. He's worked World Series, divisional playoffs, Major League All-Star games. He's big time.
Yeah, he is.
And just a wonderful guy to work with every day.
And he's recognized throughout the Major League Baseball franchises.
Yes.
He is.
He's top notch.
He is.
And so he actually, you know, that group actually supervised the growing of the field. So, you know, they're going to have a really good surface to play on.
They really will.
Yes.
That, one other thing before we go on to the activities that we have planned for the ribbon cutting is the explain to us a little bit about the dog park. This will be our third dog park. Of course, we have Lake Crago on the north end.
Yes.
We have Dogleg Woods that's connected to Three Parks Trail right off Cleveland Heights Golf Course. And then we have a dog park element inside this park.
Yes, dog parks are really, when we did community meetings for the last 10 years, dog parks seem to be at the top of the list, and folks, it's something that people were looking for. And so we've made a concerted effort to try to include that as one of our amenities in our parks that we offer. It's been a huge success wherever we put them. The last one we did, Dogleg Woods, Cleveland Heights, I mean, you go by there any given day, there's people using it, and unbelievable amount of dogs out there running around. I was laughing with some guys I had lunch with yesterday. They were talking about it. And then at Lake Crago, it's been a huge success over there, our first one that we did. So, again, we wanted to include something in there, whatever. And the whole idea of our department, too, is we look at zones and regions. And when the idea of this park came about is that we realized we had nothing north of Interstate 4. So this lets us extend our boundaries out to those areas of folks that live inside the city limits to create an amenity that people can use, 7 days a week.
So the grand opening again for Cook Park is Saturday,
yes,
August 25th at 11:30 a.m.
Yes,
and we have Police Athletic League, the youth program, football will be in full swing on that day. So we're going to cut the ribbon, and the kids are going to start playing football.
Yeah, I tell you what, we're going to play a game that morning with the Peewees, and then we're going to take a break in between. And if you ever watch Peewee football, it is great to watch because they look like little bumper cars out there. It's really cool. And whatever. Then we're going to take a break, do the park opening. And actually, I got to give Tim Abrams credit for this one, who's executive director of our PAL organization, is that through his connection with them being called the Hurricanes, which makes it kind of fitting for Ray Lewis cutting the ribbon.
It really does.
And we're going to have Brian French again is going to paint a big U in the middle of the field, just like down south, like they have for a football field.
Okay.
And then he's going to do that. And then Tim, year before last, if you've ever been to a Miami football game or see one on TV, they would run out of the tunnel and they'd run out under an inflated helmet, University of Miami helmet, and then onto the field with the smoke and everything, whatever. So Tim actually, through his connections, bought that helmet, that actual helmet, a couple years ago. So we're going to have that on the field. So when the commission and Ray and everybody comes through, they're going to be walking through that same helmet to cut the ribbon that day. So it's going to be kind of, it's going to be really a different and exciting park opening.
Well, it's going to be definitely festive. And our listeners who don't know, Bob Donahue may have had some influence as well, because he's a huge University of Miami fan.
Yes, I am. Whatever. I was throwing up the U left and right. It couldn't have made me happier.
Well, and we certainly would like to have the public attend.
Yes, we would.
This is going to be a great day. It's going to be another feather in our cap. With our Parks Department just does a fantastic job. And we have Cook Park opening August 25th at 11:30. Come on out. Love to see you there. This has been Kevin Cook for Listen Lakeland. And I want to thank again Bob Donahue for joining us to talk to our listeners today. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you. Appreciate the invite. All right.
Listen Lakeland is brought to you as a collaborative project between Lakeland Vision, the City of Lakeland, and Hall Communications, truly a community working together to provide an exceptional quality of life.